They were still waiting for their meat for nearly an hour later. There were no other customers, and no sign of life in the street outside the eatery.
Never play cards with a man called Doc, and never eat at a restaurant called Ma's Place. I knew the first bit of the old saying was true after trying a few hands of strip jack with that old goat. Now it looks like the second part of the saying's true as well.
Well, we could go some other place.
No. There's some smoke coming from the kitchen. Probably not much longer.
No, no, Ma, please!
Why, you little brat!
Ma poked his head over the batwing doors.
Won't be long, strangers. Figure you're all getting a mite hungered.
Shoot, we were mite hungered before we got here. Now we all starving.
Take care, you white-headed freak. Boy gets too sharp, and he cuts himself.
Ma disappeared back into the kitchen. Less than 5 minutes later, he waddled into the room carrying the 7 helpings of meat with the promised assortment of vegetables. He dumped the platters in front of each of the party, then started back toward the kitchen.
This is it?
Sure is. Roast venison and sweet potatoes and honeyed cabbage with peas and carrots. What the fuck does it look like, Outlander?
I'm not sure. Meat looks like parts of it have been flame-grilled, and parts haven't seen any heat at all. And it looks more like horse than deer to me. And the vegetables look to be either over or undercooked.
Ma pointed a hand at Ryan, the fingers sticking out as if they were contained in an inflated red glove.
Now, well, you best not use such details as an excuse for not completing the trade, mister.
The food was as awful as it looked.
I can only eat about a quarter of this meat, Dad. The rest is either raw or burned.
Well, my carrots were quite pleasant, but I confess that the rest of the so-called special meal falls rather short of adequacy.
I think the potatoes were actually past their eat-by-if-you're-starving date. I might have eaten worse, but I can't remember when.
Ugh, beer's warm. And flat.
Christy glanced at Ryan, sitting next to her.
What do we do, lover?
Easy. No eat, no pay.
Ma doesn't look the sort of man or woman who'll listen to a reasoned argument.
I heard that, you shitters! Well, you pay me, or you all get to eat this!
Ma held a sawed-off 12-gauge. Nobody made a hasty move, all of them watching Ryan to see how he was going to play it. Ryan sat still, both hands on the table, pushing the nearly full plate away from him, his one chillingly blue eye fixed to Ma's flushed face.
You think this is worth any payment? Really?
Sure. You did a deal, hon. You had the food, and I want the bullets.
7 rounds of the 9mm full metal jackets? Is that it?
Yeah.
The food was shit.
Takes a shitter to know shit, sweet.
Ma pointed the gaping barrels of the 12-gauge into Ryan's face.
Ain't that the truth?
You're sowing seeds of blood, and you'll reap the harvest.
Instead of just a few miserable bullets, I'll take that pretty automatic you got on your belt, one eye.
All right.
Take it out of the holster, slow and easy, or the wall behind you gets redecorated with your blood and brains.
Ryan's right hand reached down, feeling the butt of the Sig Sauer. He took it out slowly and began to lift it toward the top of the table.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. Keep the hardware coming.
At the far end of the table, JB stood suddenly. Ma was taken by surprise and half turned, his little sunken eyes flicking toward the armorer, the barrels of his shotgun wavering from Ryan for a crucial moment. And Ryan was ready with the Sig Sauer. Ryan did a back somersault and came up with a gun in his hand, aiming at Ma. But he saw immediately that he wasn't going to be needing a second round. The first bullet had struck Ma through the rolls of fat below his chins, drilling up and backward. It had distorted and tumbled as it went, breaking the lower jaw away from the upper, splintering a mouthful of rotten teeth. Everyone around the table was on their feet, their guns ready for action. Ryan looked down at the corpse.
Food wasn't even worth that one bullet I gave you.
Seven guns move their aim to the batwing doors, centering on the frightened face of a little Hispanic girl, looking no older than 12, with a dark bruise just below her left eye.
Ma's place is closed. Best go quietly on home.
The child nodded and backed out of sight.
Jack, Dean, take a quick look out back and see what you can pack into a couple of bags for food. Might be some meat or cheese or fresh fruit. Grab what you think might come in useful for us.
Glenwood Springs seemed so deserted that there was a good chance that nobody would have heard the shooting. But it would be only a matter of time before someone stepped into the eatery and stumbled over the corpse, and the Outlanders would instantly become public enemies number one. Dean reappeared, carrying a Hessian bag.
Mainly fruit, peaches and apples.
Anything else in there?
Jack carried out another sack of food.
Big pan of fat starting to smoke. Turned it off?
No.
Set place on fire next 10 minutes.
Jack's ruby eyes opened wider as he started to grin.
Cause. Fire covered a chilling.
He handed the food to Doc.
Go back and help the fire along.
Have a look out the front door, JB. Anyone looks like they're coming in here, either put them off or put them away. Whatever's needful. We get caught in here, and the whole ville could turn into an instant hornet's nest, with us caught smack in the middle. Better by far we walk away clean.
That girl might tell!
I thought about that. She was probably too frightened to tell anyone anything.
Otherwise, she'd have been dead.
That's ready to blow. Back opens into the alley. Walk along out of sight, then past the row of ruined houses. Come out by the broken bridge over the Colorado River. Best we go now.
Yeah. Right. Let's move, friends.
The dirty kitchen stank of the simmering fat that sat in a large iron pot, with a haze of dark smoke creeping above it. Jack had placed some old clothes near the stove, as well as a pile of kindling. The wood-framed building would go up in minutes once the fire started. Ryan led the way through. He held the door open for everyone, pausing to watch and make sure the fat was going to do the business for them. The smoke thickened like a living serpent, roiling over the ceiling, lapping toward him. Ryan ran quickly along the alley, past the rusted ruins of a pre-dark automobile and a battered bicycle frame. The stores to his left were all derelict, and the houses that slipped away from him on the right were all clearly long abandoned. There was no sign of life. Ryan peered around the corner of the street, looking toward the desolate broken bridge and the silent rail lines.
Let's move it!
They moved across the makeshift bridge that had been thrown together parallel to the old crossing. The companions walked together on the north side, along the red brick ruins of the old hot springs.
Stop looking around, Dean.
Maybe the fire hasn't worked. It's got to be an hour since we left the place.
Micron says about 6 minutes. There, don't look around.
Ryan stopped and stretched theatrically, glancing over his shoulder, across the weed-grown interstate toward the row of stores. He saw the darkness of smoke and the brightness of flame.
There it goes, burning like a paper house. Guess we can all look at it now.
Even as they all turned to stare, the fire cascaded through the shingle roof, sending the flaming wooden tiles floating into the still air. Already, a few men were trying to organize a bucket brigade from the river.
Might as well piss on Mount Vesuvius. I rather think that the wretches will be exceedingly lucky to save anything out of the entire block.
It was all empty buildings.
Not that it would have made any difference if they hadn't been. It wouldn't have changed your plan, would it, Ryan?
Yeah, maybe it would. If there'd been folks living close by, I'd have raised the warning myself to give them time to get clear.
Oh, well, hurrah for you, Ryan Carter, winner of the Nobel Prize for Humanitarian of the Year. Children spared while you wait. Bar mitzvah's a specialty. Discount for groups.
That time of month, Doctor? Or did you get out of the wrong side of your little bed this morning? Must be some explanation for your being more ill-tempered than usual.
Enough. Best thing we could do is get across there quickly. Then make a lot of noise about arriving to help put out the fire.
Doc had been right. The whole block that had Ma's place at its center was razed to the ground, reduced to smoking ashes in less than a half hour, with only the half-dozen brick central chimneys standing at the center. Ryan and the others made a good showing, working flat out once it became obvious that no power on Earth could save the buildings.
Probably that pervert made his fat catch fire one too many times. Don't see no sign of that poor little girl who worked for him, neighbor. Probably both in the ruins.
Say, partner, we appreciate you trying to help with what brings you folks to Glenwood Springs. If you don't mind me asking.
The smoke-dark crowd of 40 or 50 people gathered around Ryan and the others, curious.
We've been trading. Our wag fell apart a couple of days ago. Now we're stranded on foot, heading over the pass to Leadville. Say, is anyone by chance going that way?
What did you want to go to that dead-alive crap hole for, mister?
Heard of a good school for my son.
And we thought we might stop by Harmony as well.
Be Nick Brody's school. Heard it was good for book learning.
That's what we need. Where exactly is it?
Now, that's a fair question. Not many folks go that way. The trails are all broke down. Doubt there's a man or woman been beyond Leadville. But what used to be Leadville these long months?
A thin little man with a pot face, who looked as if someone had once made a hearty attempt to scalp him, nodded.
Even more true of Harmony. Bad things up there. Nobody takes the old high trail to Fairplay and beyond.
What kind of trouble?
Bounties up there, so they said. Gang of swift and evil bastards. There's only been whispers. Haven't heard of anyone actually going all the way up to Harmony for, well, like you said about going beyond Leadville, Ezekiel. Not for months.
Another man pushed to the front of the small crowd. He was extremely tall and wrapped in a buffalo hide jacket and pants that smelled as if they hadn't been within a country mile of any sort of curing process. They were still caked with dried blood and reeked of urine and dung.
Name's Lemuel. Driving a mule team up to Leadville. Gotta deliver a piano to the old opera house up there. The Tabor place. Going in an hour or so. Aim to eat at Ma's. I'll have to pass on that. Point is, I could take a couple of you folks up with me.
Only two of us?
You and me, lover. Gotta get to Harmony, lover. Find out for sure what's going on up there. Maybe some of my kin could be in danger. My mother.
Any other wags or teams we could hire?
Probably some around the ville that you could take if you wanted. Population's dropping. Livery stables got animals going cheap.
Ryan.
What?
If he'll take two, then it has to be you and me. Find out what's happening.
It doesn't make fighting sense. If there's bad trouble in Harmony, we have to be together. Then we could need a fast run out of the place. Might not be time to get Dean up to this Brody school.
You're going with the boy and leaving me behind with the rest? I don't believe you, Ryan.
He's right. Only sensible plan. Ryan can drop off the boy and meet us all at Fairplay. That way we have a united attack.
I need to get to Harmony, so butt out, John.
It's been years and years, lover. What's with waiting another day? 2 days more at the outside.
I left on such bad terms. We'd fallen out and we never got to say goodbye to each other. I want to see Mother Sonia again and tell her that I love her. That I always loved her.
You can do that, Christy.
Ryan put his arms around Christy, and she began to pull away. But he held tighter, and Christy melted.
I have to see her, Ryan.
Sure thing. But if Sonia's in deep shit, then it'll take us all to get her out of it. Agreed?
I guess so.
Doc handed her his precious swallow's eye kerchief.
I guess you're right.
Lemuel had patiently watched the emotional scene without saying a word.
You coming with me or not, mister? Another blast or two could be useful up that trail. I ain't waiting while you argue the toss. Just up sticks and leave.
Sure, sure. Me and the boy are coming with you on the wag.
Can you help me unload the piano on the other side? That's part of the trade.
Yeah, why not?
I'll get the wag then.
Christy, I'll meet up with you in Fairplay, or somewhere on the trail. Look out for me.
When?
I don't know, do I? I guess it'll likely be 2 or 3 days.